Greetings and welcome on board WKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. We're pre-recording this Monday morning interview so that we can get the week started right, talking about Highway Safety Law Awareness Week. February 16th through the 21st is Highway Safety Law Awareness Week. And so we're going to get an update from Michael Deal. He is a community traffic safety coordinator with the Highway Safety Network. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell me about your job and the Highway Safety Network. What do you do and what do they do?
What I do is I travel around the 9-county area of PennDOT District 3, and I provide traffic safety education and awareness. And our goal is to reduce traffic crashes and fatalities on Pennsylvania roadways.
All right, so you are out there providing all kinds of information about, we've talked to you in the past about school bus safety and bicycle safety and a wide range of other topics. Those are your specialities?
Absolutely. Anything pertaining to traffic or pedestrians, we cover it.
And does it make sense to keep telling motorists over and over again, slow down in work zone, keep your eyes open, watch your speed, wear your seatbelt? The repetition works?
Yeah, I believe the repetition does work. It's human nature that we become complacent with things. And while we hear a law or we see a sign, we roll right through it and we keep going on with our day. And we don't take the time to look down at that speedometer and just make sure we're staying where we need to be.
So just repeating these kind of things, I guess that would be true. We certainly think of a time when talking about DUI wasn't really a brought up subject very frequently. Then it was, and now we have quite a bit of awareness going, you know, thanks in part to you and your peers in the outreach and education areas of the Highway Safety Network and PennDOT. We've talked to Kimberly Smith a number of times. She's a safety press officer up at PennDOT District 3-0. All right, so new this year, what's new when it comes to highway safety, what's new?
Well, this year we have automated work zone speed enforcement. This is something that's rolling out this year. We have a pre-enforcement period on January 4, and we'll begin actual enforcement on March 4th of 2020. So what this is it's actually putting work zone enforcement on a new level for us. There are actually going to be cameras that are attached to vehicles in work zones that are active, only active work zones, and they will actually monitor speed as drivers come through them.
Okay, so these cameras aren't just taking photographs or video, they're also measuring speed?
That's correct.
How does that work?
What it's going to do is it will track the speed of a driver coming through an active work zone. If they're exceeding 11 miles per hour or more over the posted speed limit for that work zone, they will be issued a warning letter for a first offense and a violation notice and a $75 fine for a second offense and a violation notice and a $150 fine for third and subsequent offenses.
Are those penalties high enough?
I don't know. I would hope that this would be a deterrent, but who knows?
All right. Well, in 11 miles an hour, the speed limit in the work zone's already got a reduced speed limit. It just seems like that's a high bench, too. You know, that maybe something even lower might be sufficient.
Yeah, and that's possible, and I think that's why we start with the 11 miles per hour and kind of see how it goes from there. If we're seeing a decrease in speeding offenses, then we know it's working. And if we don't, then it's something that may need to be looked at again.
And this camera will be like the red light cameras that you already have in southeastern Pennsylvania, not around here, but taking pictures of cars going through red lights is what they do. This is taking pictures and license plate numbers subsequently of people speeding in work zones.
That's right. And something that people need to be aware of is the people who are actually going to be receiving these citation notices in the mail are the registered owners of the vehicle, which means if somebody else is borrowing your car, you better tell them to obey the speed limit.
And this will be in all active work zones or just some?
No, this will be not in all active work zones. This will be specific work zones where we see high traffic volumes.
And so, for example, like an Interstate 80 work zone, I would think, you know, if the reduced speed is 45 miles an hour, so I'm certain that there would be violators there. So that would be one place, right? So that would be a larger project.
Yeah, it's mainly going to be on our highways. We won't see this on our rural roads just because you don't have the traffic volume on your rural roads. It'll be on your interstates for the most part.
And are you going to see, so it won't be at places where typically you would see flagging, although that's flagging. Motorists are usually pretty slow anyway.
Right. These would be your bigger work zones on your highways where you're not going to have the flagger standing out there or the person holding the stop sign. This is going to be your work zones where you see the speed limit signs change far beyond where the work zone actually begins and then entering into a coned off area or a barriered area of a work zone.
All right, so that would be March 4th when that enforcement begins. And so we'll look for that to pop up around here. PennDOT's going to make sure that that is brought up and talked about as some of their work zones get started. So we'll talk about the automated work zone speed enforcement, probably a little bit more as the March 4th period. And then, of course, motorists will see it on interstates and other places where there's big projects. Steer clear. We just had an incident where a car hit a police cruiser that was at a traffic stop. So we know that this is something. Now, we don't have any idea what happened in that incident, and so we're not passing blame. But steer clear is something that addresses this idea of making sure that you're ultra cautious around any sort of a first responder.
That's right. Steer clear was actually enacted to help prevent injuries and save lives of first responders because these people are on our roadways every day. We're talking about police officers. We're talking about ambulance drivers, all of our first responders. We're even talking about the maintenance vehicles that are out there. We see them all the time. And sadly, too many people fly by them without moving over or giving them any kind of space. So this law was enacted to help prevent those injuries that we've seen far too many times.
So you have to stay away from snowplows, for example? I mean, it's always been sound advice, but this is a law now?
So with snowplows, it's a little bit different because they're actively moving down a roadway. So we recommend that people stay back from them and try not to pass them because what we often miss with a snowplow is the blade is actually larger than the truck. So the end of that blade is actually sticking out sometimes over the yellow line. So these motorists that are trying to pass these large snowplows are in danger of catching the side of that blade.
All right, so you got to be careful about that. But you're talking about maintenance trucks. So these would be trucks along the side of the road when they're working on the shoulder or picking up something or doing signage work, whatever.
Right. These would be vehicles that are generally stopped, like our tow trucks. Maybe there was a crash and there's a tow truck out there trying to remove that vehicle from the roadway. Steer clear law pertains to them. So with steer clear, the law states that you must give a full lane of travel to any emergency responder vehicle on the side of the road with their lights activated or any of those maintenance vehicles that I had said about. This includes places where there's a double yellow line. If there is no traffic coming in the opposite direction, you should be giving them a full lane of travel to work in. If there are vehicles coming the other direction, we understand that it's not always possible to give that lane. And if that's the case, then you want to reduce your speed, recommendedly, to about 15 miles per hour under the posted speed limit.
Cell phone distraction and distracted driving. What's the trend? Are we getting worse or better here? Where are we headed on this?
I would love to say that we were getting better, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. Distraction's always been a big issue, and it was an issue far beyond the time when we first got cell phones. But cell phones have certainly made it worse. It's something that I fear is going to continue to be an issue, and we need to really push that education on it so that people understand that looking down or looking away from the road for any length of time is dangerous.
Where do I get more information on all these good highway safety network topics?
A lot of this information you can actually pull off of the PennDOT website. So you can go to www.penndot.gov/safety.
All right, you can download that. Very much appreciated, Michael. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Michael Deal, Community Traffic Safety Coordinator with the Highway Safety Network.